to the Michael Rivero What Really Hill program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show here. And it is another Monday, start of a whole new crazy week. And, you go on and you keep thinking, at some point, it's going to turn around. It's got to get better. And it doesn't. The only good piece of news out of this last weekend is Democrats in Congress have decided that talk radio has for too long been dominated by a certain point of view. And they are considering legislation which would bring back the laws that we used to have, which guaranteed a diversity of opinion and a balanced point of view. So from now on, I am declaring that I am the anti-Rush. When you are tired of Pills Limbaugh and his view of the world and going out and slaughtering brown people around the world, and you get tired of that, you come right on over here to the What Really Happened radio show, and I, your host, will be the antidote. So that is my new name, the new title, the anti-Rush. I need some spooky, ominous music, you know, probably from the soundtrack to the Omen movie or something to announce that with. Now, some good news and then some bad news. And if it sounds like I'm in a really pissed off mood today, this is going to explain it. First of all, the good news is last night during the full moon and the high tide, the highest tide we're going to have the whole month, the warship, the USS Port Royal, a Ticonderoga-class guided missile cruiser, was successfully removed from the reef just off the Honolulu airport. It is back in Pearl Harbor this morning, and they're assessing the damage and so forth and so on. Now, the bad news is, while I was out there looking around in Pearl Harbor, I've got these little Meade camera binoculars, and they're really cute, and they've got, you know, really good optics. Meade makes really nice telescopes and stuff, and these work very well with my eyes at my AGE, and they've got a little built-in camera. And I went to use the camera to take a picture to put on the website, and all of a sudden my fingers are getting this slime all over them, and I take a look, and the batteries inside the binocular camera had basically exploded. Now, I'm going to give my age away here. When I was a kid, batteries came with a warranty that if they leaked, the battery company would replace whatever was wrecked by the leaking battery, because the electrolyte in there is highly corrosive. It's, you know, absolutely dissolving. And you could get a, you know, I've had police-type mag lights replaced back when that warranty was there. Well, they don't do the warranty anymore. And because they don't do that guarantee anymore, I guess they don't really care about whether the batteries leak or not. But the short version is that these binoculars, they're still good as binoculars, but the camera circuitry is completely fried, completely corroded out from the thing. And I'm very unhappy. And it's not like it's that expensive a toy. I think I paid $50 for it or something, and looking on eBay, I can get a replacement for it for $40, but that's not the point. These batteries, the Duracell battery, write that name down, the Duracell batteries, we've seen their commercials all over the place. Yes, people who are in life and death situations, they use the Duracell batteries, and it's nonsense. These batteries have been in this binocular since Christmas. I bought a bunch of batteries. I rebatteried everything over the holidays. We had fun. We were using this thing. And these batteries just leak, and they're made in the United States. These are not imported from Mexico or China or anywhere else. They are, it says right on the side of the battery case, made in the USA. So, my point about this, outside of venting my anger over having to go out and buy a replacement set of binoculars, is that if the United States can't even manufacture a battery anymore, then we have got no chance of turning this economy around anytime soon. If we can't manufacture a battery that doesn't hold its insides inside. So, Duracell, they are banned from this household. They are banned from my company. And I suggest very strongly that you avoid these batteries because, contrary to those commercials, you know, those commercials are insulting. They show the firefighters running out of the burning building. Yes, my life depends on the Duracell batteries and so forth and so on. Well, you know, you're all eligible for the Darwin Awards if you're risking your life on the Duracell batteries because they leak and they wreck your equipment. And that is just where that is. Okay, now, speaking of bad equipment, and we had a really rough month in the computers, the webcam is running today, so far, so good. We've really slowed down the refresh rate just to see if we can get it through the show, but we're trying to work through the bugs on that thing. So, anyway, getting back to the news, which is what you turn into this show. About a week ago, a story about an anti-Semitic attack on a synagogue down in Venezuela. And there were all these articles that came out that just said, oh, that Hugo Chavez, he's no friend of Israel. He allows these kind of things to take place in his country, in Venezuela. They're just all closet Nazis and anti-Semites down there. Big, huge headlines all over the world. Meanwhile, of course, Israel completely bombed, flattened 6 mosques in Gaza, and nobody even did a peep about that, about the affront to destroying somebody's religious buildings. I mean, just flattened the places, and nobody noticed. But down here in Venezuela, a little bit of spray paint on the wall and some bric-a-brac was basically broken and knocked on the ground. That was really the extent of the damage. And these masked hoodlums ran through and just created this huge, ugly, ugly, ugly mess. Well, guess what? Turns out the Venezuelan government has actually arrested most of the perpetrators, and it includes 4 police officers, one of whom, if you were listening to the news break just now, has been moonlighting as the chief rabbi's personal bodyguard for the last 4 years. Another one of the people that was arrested is one of the security guards for the synagogue. Folks, it's another hate crime hoax. It is a hoax. Israel is desperate to rebuild its public relations image. They want to go back to the world feeling sorry for them because of all the anti-Semitism, and they're such poor victims, and that's why they have to go in and drop white hot, flaming white phosphorus on school kids because of the trauma of the Holocaust. So this was another hate crime hoax. It was a fake for public relations purposes. And it happens over and over and over and over again. My wife is from San Francisco. There was a synagogue there, I think it was about 2, maybe 3 years ago, burned to the ground. Oh, those darned anti-Semites. Turned out it was the rabbi's son. And they busted him because he had the Torah in his apartment that had been removed from the synagogue. Those are very expensive because they're always handwritten. And regardless of your religious faith, when you look at them, you realize there's a lot of craftsmanship and a lot of love and a lot of expense that goes into it. And he had taken it to his home and then burned the place down. Who knows what's going on there? So it's another hoax. They're playing for sympathy. You see all over the media, you're seeing all these articles trying to remind everybody that there used to be Nazis at the first half of the last century. And there was all these horrible things that were happening to Jewish people. And they don't mention that was happening to a lot of others as well. But it's just this constant propaganda to try and take the world back to this state of mind where it doesn't matter what Israel does, we will feel sorry for them and we will give them our money. And I think it is so heavy-handed and obvious now that it's probably going to have exactly the opposite reaction. People are looking at this and say, come on already. Enough. Enough is enough is enough. So we'll just put that one down. Real quick, we're almost at the end of the segment. Our number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Donovan is in the control room. We're trying out some new systems today, so hopefully you will notice our sound quality is a little bit improved. And if you want to call and just join us on the air and talk about all this stuff, we would love to have you. Meanwhile, I, the anti-Rush, we're going to stop here and do a few commercials. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about some other deceptions that have been in the news very, very recently, and how there is so much out there. You're being lied to so much, and we have got to undo all of that. I will have truth above all. Let the truth be told, though the heavens may fall. I will have a government that tells me the truth, or I will have no government at all. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about some of the things that have been in the news lately, which are, to be generous, slightly misleading. To be less than generous, they're lies. Here's a good one. As you know, during the whole Israel attack on Gaza, there was a lot of talk about the various ships going back and forth. There was the Iranian aid ship that tried to bring food and medicine to Gaza, was rebuffed. There have been all the incidents with the Free Gaza Org boats, other boats trying to, they're just trying to get food and medicine to the people in Gaza because Israel is continuing to strangle off that strip of land. They want the land. They're hoping that if they can make life in Gaza so miserable that the Gazans will gladly go somewhere else, doesn't matter where. Israel covets the land. And so they're starving these people, which is not only a violation of the UN Charter and decent morality, it is a war crime. It is a war crime to be imposing collective punishment on the Gazans, especially since it was Israel that broke that ceasefire back on November 4th when we were all distracted with the president. Now, a couple days ago, we had this story about this ship bound for Iran that was basically grabbed by the Greek government because its cargo was found to contain components for surface-to-air missiles. And this was running around the newspaper for a while. Oh, we found a ship headed for Iran with parts for missiles. Ooh, obviously a bad sign and proof that Iran wants to destroy the entire world unless we all unite behind Israel and blow the crud out of that place. We finally found out what this component for surface-to-surface missiles turns out to be. It's not nose cones. It's not flight control systems or guidance computers or ring laser gyros or anything like that. It's 80 tons of CK-22 steel. That's it. The component for surface-to-air missiles is raw carbon steel. CK-22 steel is a standard metal product. If you're going to be making knife blades, that's what you get, is CK-22 steel. If you're going to be making engine parts for your lawnmower, they're made out of CK-22 steel. Saying that this steel was components for surface-to-air missiles is like saying that Swiss Army knife in your pocket is a tool used for the assembly of nuclear warheads. And yeah, you can use a Swiss Army knife to assemble a nuclear warhead. I used one to do brain surgery on a Gould PowerNode supercomputer in Milan, Italy many years ago. They're very useful things. But just having one in your possession doesn't mean that you have nefarious intent. And 80 tons of industrial steel bound for Iran is not proof that they're engaging in any kind of a weapons program justifying yet another war at a time when our economy is really not surviving very well. We could turn our economy around. All we got to do is stop killing brown people and stop giving Israel the money and weapons for them to go kill brown people. We could cut federal taxes in half and our economy would light up like a Christmas tree. We'd be back in those stores buying those retail products. We'd be paying off our credit cards. The credit crisis would go away. We'd be paying our mortgages. The mortgage crisis would go away. We'd be out there buying new goodies. I'd be buying a new pair of binoculars. The retail crisis would go away. But no, we have to go kill brown people, no matter what it costs, no matter how many Americans are made homeless. And we'll use any excuse to justify it. Oh, my goodness. Iran is importing steel. Has to be for nefarious purposes. It's all propaganda. They're trying to sell you a new war. They're desperate to sell you something that will justify or rebuild your faith in the government, that only the government can save you from those nasty terrorists. Remember, we have to go stomp on Iran, or the terrorists who did 9/11 will have won. Speaking of 9/11, most of you are probably already aware that World Trade Center 7, a building that was built way beyond normal building codes because it had all these government offices in it, including the SEC, which now they're waving as the excuse why they weren't keeping an eye on Bernie Madoff, by the way. Just stick that in there. So this building had a couple of fires here, a couple of fires there, nothing really major. And yet it collapsed right into its own footprint from all the load-bearing members in the basement of that building all failing at the exact same split second. Everybody who's an expert has looked at that video and says, it's a controlled demolition. No way could it come down. The government's official story, those darn fires, they weakened the metal, and it just came right on down. Well, we've had another skyscraper fire, this time in China. According to Chinese television, this building, and it's interesting because the American media is saying that it's a 40-story building. They're trying to say, well, it wasn't quite as tall as the World Trade Center 7, which was 47 stories tall, and therefore this is the reason that it didn't collapse from the fire. Well, in point of fact, this Chinese building is 54 stories tall. They're so desperate to try and keep up the original myth that they're even lying about how tall the building is. Anyways, 54 stories tall. It caught fire. They first reported seeing flames at 7:45 p.m. They finally got the fire out about midnight. During that, we've got the photo up on whatreallyhappened.com. The building was totally involved. Every window, every floor, huge glowing hot core in the middle. I mean, you know, towering inferno kind of stuff. Certainly way, way beyond anything that we saw at World Trade Center 7, where we had a couple of fires on this floor and a couple of fires on that floor, and it was no big deal. And this building burned to the frame. It's gutted. Wasn't even completed. Was just under construction. Maybe somebody ran out of financing in the current economy and they've cashed in their insurance. There are 125 skyscraper projects around the world that are now on hold because of the collapsing economy. But get back to the point here. This steel frame building burned to the frame and did not collapse. And it underscores once again that the official story of 9/11 has got some serious, serious problems with it. There is no way Building 7, which was not hit by an airplane and only had a few scattered fires on a couple of floors, there's no way it should have come down into its own footprint looking just like a controlled demolition. Because when a building comes straight down like that, it means every single load-bearing member failed at the exact same split second. Otherwise, the building would tip over to one side. But we didn't see that happen. It came straight down. And we've had yet another skyscraper fire that underscores the fact that except for 9/11, no steel frame building has ever collapsed just from fire. In the history of building skyscrapers, the only buildings to do so all happened on 9/11. Alrighty here. Oh, my goodness, how time flies when you're having fun. The magic music means it's time to take a break here. Phone number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Pick up that phone, punch those buttons. I know you're out there listening. The streaming server says you're out there. So grab that phone, call on in. We'll be right back.
Is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what's really happened?
Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. I don't know if you can hear this over the headset microphone. We just had a whole group of military helicopters fly over, and, you know, it was kind of shaking the building and the glasses rattling in the frame. And I presume it's a training flight, but believe me, if I see the guys in the black Nomex coming down the zip lines after yours truly, I will let you know before they take me. It's rather interesting to look at these training flights. They're going on every single day, and you realize how much fuel they're using. I mean, just one of these big helicopters flying once around the island is using up more gas than we put in our little car for an entire month. Huge expense out there. Anyway, getting back, I want to cover a story real quick. This is sort of parallel to the Bishop Williamson brouhaha regarding his opinion that maybe we were lied to about some aspects of World War II. I mean, I know that's going to be hard for some of you to accept that the U.S. government would lie to you, but they have. Remember Saddam's nuclear bombs. Anyway, parallel to that, of course, is the literal kidnapping and sending to Germany an incarceration of a gentleman by the name of Ernst Zundel, who has for many years been writing books and articles and going through research to say that certain aspects of the Orthodox account of World War II may have been exaggerated for propaganda purposes. And I say certain aspects because the people who scream Holocaust denial, they're trying to put out this idea that people who are asking questions are trying to claim that nothing bad happened in Germany. Of course, that's absolute nonsense. Hitler was a jerk. Even if he was good buddies with our previous president's grandfather, he was a jerk. He wrecked his country. Yes, he did the Volkswagen. That was kind of cool. But Hitler was a jerk, okay? We all agree on that. We don't need to debate that anymore. Yes, there were slave labor camps. It is no secret. The Nazis were using all kinds of people declared to be disloyal, unsafe, security risks, like Rahm Emanuel is thinking about doing here in the U.S. You know, if you're on the watch list, then you're not a real American citizen anymore. That's exactly how Hitler started, saying this group of people goes into the camps and they will make shoes for our soldiers. It's amazing the parallels that are going on. So, everybody agrees that happened. There are some scholars who are looking at certain claims being made that serve a political agenda who have asked some very real questions, and they've come up with some really interesting facts. And the facts, especially in this day and age where we're looking back on the lies about Saddam's nukes, there are people who are saying, you know, it is prudent for us to take a look at what we've been told. And Bishop Williamson did. And Ernst Zundel has done a lot of the work, and he has paid a huge price for it, even before going to to prison in Germany. His house was firebombed. He was sent bombs in the mail. I mean, just usual thugs type stuff. So anyway, the interesting thing about Ernst Zundel's trial is that his attorney, Sylvia Stoltz, was charged by the judge with Holocaust denial simply for defending Ernst Zundel. What kind of a judicial system do you have when they are so intent on convicting the accused that they're going to charge, accuse, and convict and jail the lawyer who's just there trying to get him, you know, the best trial that outcome that he can? And all Sylvia did was go in and say, let us look at the actual evidence that has led my client to reasonably conclude that he has doubts. And it was at this point the judge said, and boy, you'd think the German people of all people would know not to go along with dictatorship mentality. But the judge said it doesn't matter if what Ernst Zundel is true, and it doesn't matter if he can prove every bit of it, it is still against the law to say it. And so Sylvia was sent to jail on this situation. Now, apparently, the German High Court, their equivalent of the Supreme Court, has looked at this case, and they have agreed with every other intelligent human being on planet Earth in saying that this original judge abused his judicial authority. And they have already dropped many of the charges against her. And the short version is, they're rolling it back. She may be out next week. And it's terrible, a terrible abuse of justice that she had to go to jail at all for doing her job of being a defense attorney. But it is unwinding the situation, and I think it's going to bring a lot more attention under the situation. You know, we don't jail people who think Elvis is still alive. We don't arrest people who claim to have seen Bigfoot. We have people running around the deserts of Nevada insisting that the space aliens took them up into the UFO and did weird sexual experiments on them. And we don't wreck their lives. We don't destroy their finances. We don't call their employees and their clients and say, oh, you don't want to talk to this person. Don't do business with them. You don't see that kind of McCarthy mentality and witch hunt mentality directed at anybody else who's got an opinion that's at variance with the norms of society. Only in this one area of inquiry are so many people trying so hard to use the power of the courts to coerce a point of view. And I'm just happy that Sylvia Stoltz appears that she's going to be able to get out of jail. And now all we do is we have to get Ernst Zundel out and Gamar Rudolph and whoever else is in prison for asking a question. That's their offense. They asked a question. There is no such thing as a topic that is above reexamination. There is no such thing as facts that cannot be questioned again. Because if they're true, if it's a true fact, they're not afraid of questions. They're not afraid of reexamination. We've sent all these robots and everything down to the Titanic, you know, and we're asking new questions about the quality of the metal that we could never know before. But it hasn't changed the story. The basic core story remains the same. We're refining, we're exploring, we're re-examining, we're bringing forth new knowledge that rests on a foundation of established historical fact. In every other genocide in history, the victims have been the first calling for new examinations, new investigations. Let's find out more about what happened. The Armenians, for example. Only in this one case are the victims themselves so dead set that nobody ever, ever will take a close look at the actual facts that are available. I grew up believing the Orthodox account of World War II, even though I had uncles who'd served in Germany who said, you're being lied to. I was a kid. I didn't know. I don't care if anybody lied to me. I'm waiting for Superman to come on. I believe the Orthodox account. And what made me start to question it was not anything that Ernst Zundel wrote or the Lochte report. I'd never even seen these things. What started getting me to wonder what was going on was watching the defenders of the official story and the lengths they went to just bludgeon anybody who was asking a question. And I looked at that and I said, these are people who act like they've got something to hide. And you look going around the net today and what they're trying to do with the Vatican. Oh, you've got to go whoop on this bishop and you've got to get him in line and everything. And they're, you know, they're wielding their cudgels and their shillelaghs at him. And you just see this much effort being brought to bear to coerce acceptance of a given dogma. And it reeks of fear. Everything they're doing advertises the fact they are afraid. They're hiding something. It's obvious by their actions. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back with Dan in Washington on the phone after this brief break for commercials. Catches me off guard, but we're back here and we're going to go to the phones. We've got Dan in Washington State. Aloha, Dan. Welcome to the show. What part of Washington do you live in?
I live in Tacoma.
Okay, you know where Snoqualmie is, right?
Yes.
That's where I used to live.
No. It's a beautiful area.
It certainly is. They used to film the TV show Twin Peaks there. And there's a wonderful railroad museum. I directed a documentary for them, and it was wonderful, wonderful people all over the place. Didn't get to see a Bigfoot, but it was wonderful people. And, you know, it was great. I loved it there.
Nice. There's some wonderful people up there.
So what's on your mind?
The first thing on my mind has to deal with Rahm Emanuel. And I saw a report that he gave a speech to where he was wanting more gun control, that anybody convicted of a misdemeanor or anybody that was even a suspect as a terrorist, which is a pretty liberal phrase, meaning they could use their own discretion on the spot. They could probably start calling you a terrorist.
Well, I aspire to be an irritation. I don't think I'm a terrorist yet, but I do aspire to be an irritation.
I don't ever aspire to be a terrorist, but I do believe in America, and I do believe in the rights of citizens for Americans. And it raised a lot of questions in my mind about their gun control laws that they want to pass. And that was all in hindsight, because he gave that speech, I believe it was in 07. But one of the startling things that he said on there, even if you were a suspect, that you were no longer an American.
And yeah, I believe the phrase that he used was, you're not part of the American family anymore. And the danger about this is the policy that we see enacted in Israel, where the trusted inside people get the blue license plates and everybody else gets other colored license plates. And as you go through the checkpoints, of course, that license plate determines whether you get to be waved on through or if they're going to pull you over to the side and take your car apart for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And then just today I had heard on another news channel that he had brought the Census Bureau into the White House instead of being their own outside entity.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's brought inside the White House for tighter control.
I'm not sure what they're trying to control. I mean, in theory, the census is supposed to be, enumeration for the purposes of tax distribution and federal programs. I do know that the last several census have included very personal and detailed questions that a lot of people are not comfortable answering. Why the White House wants it more under their control, I'm wondering if they're going to do something with the information that we're not supposed to know about. Like, are we going to be subject to racial profiling on a national level that will go into these terror watch lists? You know, we already know the existing terror watch list has got a lot of people on there who shouldn't be there. They haven't done anything. A lot of times they're there just because they have a similar name to a known terrorist. We've had senators and congressmen who are blocked from airplanes because their names are on that list. And, you know, Rahm Emanuel now wants to start restricting your gun rights based on whether you're on the list or not at a time when we know you can be on the list without deserving to be so. It's a very reckless way to be approaching the situation. And I think it betrays a recklessness just in the way Rahm Emanuel approaches these things.
Well, two things that came to my mind real quick was, one, they could re-manipulate the elections that way.
Yes.
For granting to see how many people are in certain areas, see if they can manipulate the law stipulating electoral votes.
They could gerrymander like crazy, and nobody could stop them. If they're the only ones holding that census data, that's how the district boundaries get drawn.
And the other issue, going back to gun control and maybe possibly gun confiscation, now wouldn't that give them an adopted view of how many citizens are where and how many troops to put where at certain times? Wouldn't that give them an on-time type map of populations at any given area to give them troop movements of their own?
It definitely would, but I'll tell you, they can already do that because all they got to do is look at where the worst unemployment is, and that's the flash spot where these problems are going to start. I mean, we know that in March, welfare payments in California are going to stop. That's going to upset a lot of people. We know that today we have got people who are on the verge of losing their homes are protesting and possibly potentially rioting in front of the homes of the CEOs of these predatory mortgage companies. And, you know, the bottom line is if it flashes up everywhere at the same time like it did in Iceland, the U.S. government doesn't have enough troops and police and National Guard to put the lid back on. And I honestly think that that's what's going to happen. And just as the Icelandic people drove their government out and said, okay, we're going to start over, you know, with a bunch of people who know what they're doing and who care about the people instead of corporations and banks, I think that's going to happen here. In fact, I think it's inevitable. I can't see us continuing on the path that we're on right now without some kind of a major crisis.
I can't either. And for anybody else who cares out there, if they see any of these writings going on in their own community, videotape them and put them on the web.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
because the
American can start seeing what's actually going on, because the national news isn't broadcasting.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. The media is downplaying this stuff. They have not been reporting on the riots in Europe. I mean, the media is desperate. They're still doing this thing about the plane crash in the Hudson River. And yes, it's nice that the pilot and the flight crew all did very wonderful jobs and kept everybody alive. But it's getting to be old news. They're bringing back JonBenet Ramsey. They're bringing back the Tylenol case. Next, it'll be OJ again. They're desperate for something to report on rather than what's really going on with the economy. Dan, we got to let you go because we've got one more caller I want to try and fit in before we hit the end of the show, okay? So we're going to switch over to Richard in Texas. Aloha, Richard. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I got a quick one for you. You can probably really speak to this one. Why is it that all the world religious leaders, not one of them, have spoken out about 9/11? Ahmed Najinajad, none of them. I know he's not a religious leader, but the Ayatollah, none of them. You know the titles. And so does that mean that they've all really given themselves over to the New World Order and they're all really just devil worshippers? Because not even the Pope, they have to know about 9/11. They have to know it was an inside job, and that's everything is pretty much spinning off of that. So why haven't they spoken out about 9/11? Can you speak to that? And even with the recruit of all the reverends in the United States, you would think the good reverends would at least be exposing those who have sold out, using revelations, whatever.
Okay.
Let me respond to that
because we're almost out of time here. Okay. The situation is you need to remember the very close relationship that exists between the state, the government, and the clergy. We know that FEMA embarked on a program to literally send paychecks to ministers who they would train to preach to the congregations that a coming martial law was possibly a good thing and God thought it was a really great idea. Much as the way in the Confederacy the clergy would preach that slavery was actually condoned in the Bible, which it actually is if you read the right parts. And, you know, government and religion always have this handshake agreement because religion convinces everybody that if you just go along with whatever the government's telling you, no matter how silly it seems, that when you die you will go up to heaven and you'll get a harp and you'll get wings and you'll have all this really wonderful time, and these mean old government people who just dumped on you during your entire life here on Earth, they're going to go to the dark regions, and they're going to burn, and they're going to suffer. And, of course, it's not a promise that anybody has come back and said, look, it wasn't that way in the afterlife at all. So it's a really big scam, and this is why religion gets a tax break under the United States law, because the government needs the religion as the safety valve to really keep people from getting together and saying, you know, I think the way this country is run is really kind of screwed. And so, religion has been co-opted by our government, certainly. And as far as those few ministers and preachers who are speaking out about 9/11 or about any of the other scandals going on, the media won't show them. I mean, look what we had just here with BBC, where they wrecked their own credibility and triggered a huge backlash by refusing to air a fundraising message for the people of Gaza. And the message wasn't political. It wasn't out to say anybody was bad or good. They just said, these people have been hurt. They need food. They need medicine. They need help. BBC wouldn't run it. The corporate media still, to this very day, views it as their job to decide what you will and will not see. That vandalized synagogue in Venezuela, headlines around the world. 6 bombed mosques in Gaza, nothing. Not a mention. That's the end of our show today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time. More news, your phone calls. Stay safe. Drive carefully. Aloha, America.